Welcome to the Motivational Firewood Podcast, created by Steve Gamlin. As an award-winning speaker and author, Steve's greatest passion is blending inspiration and humor to create relatable, actionable, and repeatable messages. We hope you enjoy this recording.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome to this latest podcast recorded at this time in the countdown of 2014. It is the afternoon of December 31st, and I've waited all year, actually several years, of knowing a very cool gentleman to finally interview him. Today's guest is Kevin Willett. Kevin is the founder of the Friends of Kevin networking program. Hey there, Kevin.
Good afternoon, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show.
Happy to have you here. You've been on my list of people to interview for quite a while. I have been on your radio show, it's got to be 10 times easily over the last couple of years, and I always love our conversations because you and I are very, very similar. Our paths, we started with what some people refer to as real jobs in the real world, and now we're both kind of following our passion. So why don't you open up the call with telling people what's your background and what led you to forming Friends of Kevin and being on not just an entrepreneurial path, but also a giving back path.
Well, Steve, I was working as vice president and chief financial officer of a bank down in Lowell, Mass. And that was, you know, about 6 years ago now. And what happened, there was so many people coming in my office, you know, talking about the hard times, the recession had started. You know, geez, Kevin, I'm scared. You know, I'm, my business is down. Things aren't going well. And honestly, Steve, I used to sit there listening to him, drinking my Mountain Dew, looking at all my fancy little community service plaques. And one day, I just leaned back in the chair saying, you know, this is happening for a reason. You're supposed to help these people. And honestly, I didn't know how and why I was getting this call, but I started bringing people together. And it was a simple thing, you know, everyone that was having trouble, let's put us all in the room. We went to the library once a month, had maybe 20 people, sometimes five, and just tried to introduce people. And I really got the calling from it, Steve. I realized that I was supposed to change the world. And how Friends of Kevin's a little different than your typical networking groups is we try to help everybody. So if you're a job seeker who's unemployed, we'll share your resume on the website, introduce you to people who may have a need for your services. And also we really like to help nonprofits. So if you're a nonprofit that's having a fundraiser, we're more than happy to share it on social media, interview you on my radio show. We just started a new concept last week with featuring pets that are up for adoption now on the website and also local artists just to try to find them a way to get an audience. Because what I'm seeing, Steve, out there is there's three distinct groups. There's the business people, the nonprofits, and the artists. And my goal always has been to bring them all together.
Nice. And we've done a couple of your events have actually been at galleries that featured some local people. And I walked around in awe of the talent that's walking down Main Street USA every single day. And just because their name isn't Picasso or Van Gogh yet, doesn't mean that their art is not just mind-blowingly good. So good for you for sharing them with the world, or at least getting people in the door to see what they have to offer.
It really is a rewarding situation because, like you, every day I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, I get a call that, hey, that was a great idea. Let's go do that and stuff. So it's, you know, it's perfect for my short attention span. You know, to always have something new in front of me. And I've gotten to meet so many great people that it's just very, very rewarding to know that, hey, we were able to have a small difference in that person's life.
And one of the things you and I share is a love of giving back. And I know we've had so many radio shows just about that, about how easy it is to commit acts of kindness, because here we are on the cusp at the time of this recording of a brand new year, and so many people, well, this is the year I'm going to give more, and they have all the intention in the world, but they don't know what to do, and they don't know how easy and really how inexpensive it can be. Everybody thinks it's the big stuff. You know, you and I both want to change the world, but we both realize that you're not going to do it in one fell swoop. It's a million good little things. And you've shared some stories with me about the Drakett Food Pantry. If you don't mind sharing just a couple of the stories, including the gentleman who showed up
Yeah, so basically what happens, Steve, is, you know, this is going back a couple of years ago, but typically the food pantry is open the fourth Saturday of the month. But a lot of times we'll have people in there stocking the shelves, so they have the doors open. First came in a guy on a bicycle, and he couldn't speak, so he, you know, made the motion rubbing his belly that he was hungry. So they gave him some food and, you know, enough to he could drive on his bicycle with it. And, you know, we're like, oh, that's good. Then a few minutes later, another guy comes in. We're like, all right, maybe we should shut the doors because we're only supposed to be open once a month. We asked the gentleman, hey, can we help you? And he's like, yeah, 10 years ago, a pantry helped me. Then he wrote out a check for $1,000. Needless to say, we left the door open.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the types of stories you see. And as you mentioned earlier, Steve, people think that you have to do this huge donation. And I always tell them about when we first started the pantry, and there was months when, you know, we were really doing, as I call the Jesus thing, you know, trying to bless and multiply the cans, when we were literally down to 5 cans left on the shelf. Well, that person that donated 2 cans and the other person that donated 3 cans made sure I had enough for everybody. So, it, you know, please understand that all of this stuff really is a can-by-can battle, whether it's the food pantry, whether it's, you know, the local humane society that just needs another bag of food today. It really does make a big difference. You don't have to donate cases. And more importantly, like you said, you know, time's a very valuable asset. If you, you know, maybe can't donate monetarily, ask about volunteering. I really just got bit at the food pantry after the first month. Because what happens, Steve, we've been open 7 years now. The first month, I was helping someone go out to their car with their food. And the lady grabbed a bag of cookies and started eating them as fast as she could. So I just looked the other way like I wasn't seeing what was going on. And then she caught my eye, and she started to cry. She was like, I'm sorry, I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, for what? I wanted some cookies. And I tried to blow it off, and she was like, I haven't eaten in 3 days because my car broke down. I needed my prescriptions. I'm sorry. I'm just hungry. And I just looked at it, and I just started to cry, too. I'm like, that's when it became personal. You know, Drake, it's a great community, always willing to help. We just, like you said, we need a way to just tell people, hey, this is how you can help. And they do, so we can make sure that we don't have any more stories like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting to just observe, you know, the difference you can make and stuff. Because one of the things that I was surprised by when I volunteered at the pantry, and I am the chairman of the food pantry, is they're no longer clients, they're my friends now. Mm. You know, like we spend time chatting when they come in the pantry, they ask me if they need something. But when something happens, you know, whether it's just like, hey, I need help bringing the chairs back in, people will jump right up. Oh, don't worry, we have it, we'll do it. You know, we're thankful for you helping at the pantry. Tell us what we can do to help. So it's really weird and interesting in a positive way when all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing these people once a month, catching up with them.
Yeah, and it does become family. I've been a part of several nonprofits here in New Hampshire for about the last 4 years. When I finally got it in my head that that was a super important part of my mission as a professional speaker, motivational humor, and a writer, and just an experiencer of life, so that I can be genuine and authentic when I'm suggesting it to other people.
Yeah, like I said, it really does change your life for the positive, and that's why, you know, every Saturday, we'll open once a month at the food pantry. I always post on Facebook, you know, please go by and volunteer at your pantry. You'll see why I have been doing it for 7 years now. And you have no intention of stopping because of just how rewarding it is, knowing you're making a difference, and the incredible people you get to meet.
And you never know, just doing that one thing, you might be the only person who smiles at one of these people.
Yeah.
All week long, all month long, you might be the only person who actually gives them hope, and you become, it's amazing how easy it is to be someone's hero.
There's a lady that comes to the pantry, her name is Adele. So I said, oh, like the singer. And she smiled at me and said, well, I think I was Adele long before she was. So now I call her the real Adele, and it's kind of spread through the pantry. So everyone calls her the real Adele now. And she smiles at me. She goes, I like that name. But, you know, just a simple good morning to the real Adele, you know. And it's just every time she smiles. And like you said, but for 1 minute, she feels special.
Yeah.
What's all about and stuff, so.
So as we get ready to roll over, and, of course, you and I know there's no such thing as resolutions, you know, those little... Oh, yeah, I should make a resolution thing because I wrote a blog earlier this week, you know, why are resolutions essentially dog crap?
Yeah.
You know, you step into them without looking, they follow you around all year, and they stink. So what are you looking to create in 2015, both for yourself and for, you know, friends of Kevin? What's the big mission, or what would you like to see happen by the end of this year?
We got a couple of great things going on, as you know, because you've been assisting me, and I appreciate that. We're just about ready to launch our first book on business networking, so that's going to be huge. It's really going to help legitimacy, you know, when I'm giving people, you know, networking tips online. Well, I am the author of a book, not the book, a book on networking. And also, Steve, I'm going to be starting some video online networking events. Because as you know, geography is one of our biggest issues, you know, where I want you to meet somebody who's just not geographically desirable and being close to you. Well, now through the, you know, video technology, we can have a networking event with people that may not meet each other in proverbially in the real life. So really looking forward. We've just finished some testing on that. It went well. So that's going to be something that's really cool. It's going to allow me to be able to expand my business, you know, throughout the country. So that was a pretty huge day when we did the first test, and I liked what it did. So I've been looking for a while trying to find that technology that I was comfortable with, that was easy to use, and finally, you know, someone told me about it. I looked, and, you know, I have to admit, that was one of the lean back in the chair days and go, you know what, that's good. Because I try never to lean back in the chair and think about anything saying, hey, this is great, because you can't get complacent, Steve, you know. I've got to always come up with the next idea to, you know, to keep growing and stuff. So, you know, I usually give myself the afternoon to smile, but realize when I wake up the next day, it's just a new day, and it doesn't matter good or bad what happened the previous day.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't sit there too many days with your feet up on the desk.
It'd be nice. But it just doesn't work that way.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, what are your words of wisdom for anybody else? Kind of maybe they're entrepreneurs, maybe they're thinking about it. It's cold and dark crossroads of the switch of the new year. What do you recommend?
Honestly, stop thinking and do it, because there's so many people I meet, as you do, you know, when they hear about, you know, especially my journey. So let's get this right. You were chief financial officer, vice president of a bank, making good money, great benefits, lots of perks, and you get up and quit to start a networking group. Okay, you know, you were in your mid-40s then, were you having a midlife crisis? Did you bang your head? You know, why would anyone in their right mind do that? Because it was my passion. As you know, my friends who saw where it was going kind of just laughed when I did it, saying, well, it's about time. But the monetary people, they stay so focused on that. Well, I'm totally miserable, but, you know, I make money and I have 3 weeks vacation. So why would I give that up and stuff? Please, you know, find a way slowly if you have to, but follow that passion, because it's not going to get any easier down the road. More obligations are going to be in the way. So find a way to make it happen.
And I tell people that a lot, too, like you just said, and this is exactly it. Because I walked away cold turkey from a 10-year radio career. And I threw my entire life, marriage, career, everything in the toilet all at once. I don't recommend that.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah, a little. But that also gave birth to my speaking career, because as I put my life back together in a way I really liked it, I took notes. So I know what I thought like and felt like on my best days and on my worst days over the last 22 years.
Because sometimes we just forget things. They're like, oh, yeah, that was great. But you don't sometimes don't realize the importance of maybe at the time insignificant events until, you know, you take the time to lean back and go, that really was a crossroads. And, geez, I didn't think that was that big of a decision, but look at the effect it had on my life.
Yeah. Yeah, there were days I look back and I go, whoa, because some of those days were really dark. And
yeah.
I hope to never live through them again, but I'm glad I jotted down the notes, because now I can measure the height of success as compared to how low that was.
Absolutely.
And we all have those days. You know, there's nobody out there with a perfect life. I tell people right up front when I get on stage, hey, guess what? Nothing about my life is perfect. Don't tear up my check yet.
Yeah, right, yeah. But like, it's like, you know, we've spoken about that, and, you know, people expect me and you to be up every day. because of who we are and what we do. And when we have those days when maybe we're just not at our best, you know, I try to kind of hide a little bit, you know. Maybe I'm not out running around meeting people, you know. Maybe I'm just, you know, sitting at home on the computer, you know, taking a breather so that we don't have that situation. Because I had an event once, Steve, and honestly, I just had an off day, just, you know, life and got in the way. I had four text messages like 8 minutes after the event. Hey, call me. Something's wrong with you.
Mm.
I'm like, guys, I just had an off night. Come on. You know, but they're like, you weren't you. You know, and people pick up on it right away and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. I had a day, well, just less than 2 weeks ago, I was attending a speaking educational event. A friend of mine and I carpooled down, and I was just, I'll say, viciously humorous that day. I was a little bitter and sarcastic and just not myself. And she sent me a message the next day. And by the next day, I was okay. But that day, some things had gone wrong. And I was just rolling in comedy mode, but I was really kind of blunt with it and a little caustic. And it just wasn't me.
That's all that matters. It's, like you said, it's how it ends and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, awesome, Kevin. As we wrap up, how can people learn more about Friends of Kevin, about networking, about the events, and, of course, now the video networking, and also, and I've been so happy and honored that you asked me for some input, because I've made about every mistake possible when publishing a book.
Best way, Steve, go out and visit the website, friendsofkevin.com. You can connect with me on any social media you like to connect with me on. I don't say I don't know people, so my last name is Willett, W-I-L-L-E-T-T. And, of course, just tell people, just tell me that you heard me on the Steve Gamblin Show.
There you go.
Good deal. Hey, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. We hope Steve's message provided many pieces of motivational firewood, which you can add to the spark in your heart to create success. For more information on how to include Steve at your next event or to learn more about his personal development programs, please visit stevegamblin.com.